Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. So we've come to the end of September, and then we start a new month. And so I just wanted to kind of prepare you a little bit for the next 4 months. So October, November, December, January. I'll be unpacking and sort of preaching on and available for conversation around what I see as the direction God is calling us in as a church, and also kind of just sharing my heart with you, what God has really been laying on it recently. And we're going to take a few months to look at all of those things. So if you don't like my preaching, too bad. Use AI, record them. So here's what you can do. You record my message, put it into AI, and get them to find someone else to preach it. And then they can preach it back to you. And you can also ask AI to take out all the bits you don't agree with as well. That's another option. We've been looking at pressing on this month, and the title of my message this morning is Pressing On Together. So if you would, if you've got your Bibles or you have a phone that has a Bible in it or some other device, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read together before I start talking about it from verses 1 to 3. Okay. Just looking around to see who's got it. Yep, okay. A few people got it. All right. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Great little passage. When Hebrews speaks of the life of faith as a race, it is not picturing a lonely jogger on an empty track. It imagines a stadium alive with testimony, a great cloud of witnesses whose very lives shout across the ages, "Keep going. It is worth it. You're not alone." That's an important correction for us. In our culture, faith is often presented as private, individual, even self-sufficient. It's just me and Jesus, people say. But Hebrews insists otherwise. The Christian life is never solitary, much to my disappointment. I would have liked it to be solitary, but it isn't. It is communal. We run together, cheered on by those who came before, sustained by the one who ran ahead, strengthened by all of those running beside us. So as we close this month's theme on pressing on, we turn to this image of the race. And what we find here is both encouragement and challenge. Encouragement that we're not alone. Challenge to throw off every hindrance, and the call to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. I'm not him, by the way. So my first point is that we're surrounded by witnesses. As the passage says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The word witness is not about spectators in the stands. It comes from the Greek martis, the same word that gives us martyr. These are people whose very lives testify to God's faithfulness. In chapter 11, we've just been introduced to some of them. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, each bore witness, not just by words, but by endurance. And these witnesses are not confined to the scripture. They include countless men and women across history, persecuted believers in the early church, missionaries who carried the gospel at great cost, local saints whose names may never appear in books, but whose faith quietly shaped generations. Think of those in your own whakapapa of faith. Parents, grandparents, mentors, teachers, perhaps a kōrua who prayed daily, or a kuia who sang hymns with unwavering hope. Their faith surrounds us. Their example strengthens us. During the Olympics, marathon runners often speak about the crowd. Even when exhausted, when their legs are burning, the roar of the crowd carries them on. They're not running alone. That is the writer's vision in Hebrews. We are surrounded, carried, cheered on by witnesses. So when we press on, we do so not in isolation, but as part of a story much bigger, much larger than ourselves. And we come to the other, a little bit of a challenge maybe. The writer continues, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The metaphor is clear. A runner cannot compete effectively if they're weighed down. Imagine trying to run or sprint with a backpack full of bricks. No matter your strength, you'll eventually falter. To run the race of faith, we must be honest about what actually entangles us. The word used here for entangle suggests something that kind of clings tightly, wrapping around the legs. Sin works exactly like that. But so do distractions, misplaced priorities, even good things elevated into ultimate things. Think about the things we carry. Resentment, fear, perfectionism, old habits, unhealthy relationships, the drive to prove ourselves. None of these help us run. None of them. They trip us and they exhaust us. In Te Ao Māori, when someone goes on a hikoi, they travel light. Only what is needed for the journey is carried. Everything else is left behind. To carry too much is to burden not only yourself, but the group. Hebrews is saying the same. Shed the weight so you can run free. Because this is a community and a whānau. Shedding the weight helps us all run free. This is not about guilt. It's not about, oh, I've got to get... Some of you are already sitting here listing off the things you've got to give. Oh, I need to fix it. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to get it right. How about you just listen to the Holy Spirit and then do what he tells you. He'll tell you which weights to drop, when to drop them, which ones to drop first. Pressing on is not only about endurance, it's about laying aside what no longer serves us, what no longer reflects the life that Christ calls us to. That means for myself, there are things that I will have to let go of because they no longer, even though they were helpful, at the time, they no longer reflect the life Christ is calling me to. Some of those things I wanted to hold on to because they gave me a sense of status, or they gave me a sense of being right and correctness. Maybe there are things in your life that are really no longer serving or reflecting the life Christ is calling you to. So we're throwing off, we recognize we're surrounded by others. This is a communal effort, if you like, a communal kind of enterprise. We're throwing off the things that are hindering us. And then later in this passage it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The word for perseverance is, and I'm going to probably butcher the pronunciation, hypomony, something like that. Close enough. It does not mean passive waiting. I'm just waiting on the Lord. How's that been working out for you the last 20 years? It does not mean passive waiting. It means active, resilient endurance. The ability to hold your ground under pressure, to keep going when others give up. Perseverance is different from speed. The Christian race is not a sprint. It is closer to a marathon, sometimes even an ultra marathon. What matters is not how fast you start, but whether you endure to the end. When I look around at some of the queer and kōtu in this space, I think of the many, many years you've followed Christ. And to see you here as you draw closer to the prize is, again, a challenge to us that are younger. I'm just trying to pretend I'm younger for a minute. Bear with me. What matters not how fast you start, but whether you endure to the end. Think of Sir John Walker. You may know of him. One of New Zealand's greatest runners. He won Olympic gold, but his true reputation came from his relentless training and his ability to keep running through pain. His career reminds us greatness is not about a single sprint, but about endurance over time. The same is true in faith. Some begin with passion and burn out quickly. Others plod steadily, persevering through hardship, and it is they who embody pressing on. And you know, sometimes we start with a burst and then we give it all up and run away, and then we come back and then we try a different way and that doesn't work, so we run off again. And then I always think of it more as the Holy Spirit's perseverance than mine. How I got here. Just so you know, I'm not very good at persevering through hardship. I was thinking about that if somebody was to, you know, say, come and, you know, kidnap me and go, right, renounce your faith. I'd probably be like, oh, God, can I? Like, I just don't want to go through it. Like, sort it out later. But the reality is, it's a long race. Finally, the final point is about fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's kind of the anchor point, really. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, or some would say the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the climax. Witnesses inspire, discipline helps, perseverance sustains, but only Jesus secures the race. He is the pioneer, he's the trailblazer, he's the perfecter, he's the completer. He both began and finished the path of faith. When we grow weary, we're called to look to him. His endurance makes ours possible. He pressed on through the cross. He pressed on through the shame. He pressed on through the abandonment for the joy set before him. And now he is enthroned, the finisher of the race. You know, when a child is learning to walk, they stumble and fall repeatedly. But as long as their eyes are locked on the parent calling them forward, they keep trying. Our perseverance works the same way. Fix your eyes on Christ, and you will rise again no matter how many times you fall. He's always inviting you to come. You can do it. Come on, let's go. I've got you. So how do we as a congregation press on together? Firstly, by remembering the witnesses. Tell their stories and let their endurance shape you. Quite a few of you will know Patrick Hickey. Quite a few of you will know Gwitha Pendre. Will know others who were part of the life of this church, who bore witness to the work of Christ. Tell their stories. There are families or members of families that were here that aren't here anymore, and yet they had a part to play and were important to the shaping of this congregation. Just because somebody doesn't want to come here anymore doesn't mean they weren't contributing and being obedient to God and being here. How else do we press on together? By helping each other throw off weights. Sometimes we need brothers and sisters to gently point out what's entangling us. Sometimes we need their encouragement to let go. Let me just be clear. It is nobody's job in this church to stop other people sinning. That is not our job. We are incapable of achieving that. Let me make that very clear. It is not our job to stop other people sinning. Do you know why? Because we can't stop ourselves. So who are we to tell people what they need to do to stop sinning? I'll tell you what we do. We say, when I'm facing things that have entangled me, I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help. Sometimes we need encouragement. One of the things that I really struggled with when I was a younger Christian was some of my beloved congregation just gently letting me know all the things I was doing wrong. Not really concerned about what was actually entangling me. More concerned about what they felt. Let us help each other throw off weights. Now, if God has directed you, let me also say this. A good friend will challenge you. A good friend will disagree with you. A good friend will speak sometimes kind of painful things to you because they love you. One of the things that has helped me, and I'll offer this as just a piece of throwaway advice, you don't have to take it, it's not that big a deal. But one of the things that helped me is I had kind of like this mental list. And on that list, I put all the people who could speak into my life. And by that I mean all the people who could say whatever they wanted to say, and I needed to pay attention. And if you weren't on that list, I would smile politely, go, nod, agree, whatever, and as soon as I turned away, throw what you said behind me. Why did I do that? Well, we all have this really cool way of trying, of kind of understanding what people are up to and turning it into a negative thing, or, you know, we'll imagine a conversation that they've had because they said something out loud, but then we imagine all the stuff behind it and it's usually wrong, and we've kind of got all these other things, and then we hold them accountable for a hurt they didn't even know they had done. And it used to just confuse me all the time. My brain would be so full of all these weird things. And that really helped me to just go, you know what? If this person's, if Pastor Todd says something to me that he sees, or he says something that's a challenge to him, then I should listen. One of the reasons that I have him on my list was because when I first came back to this church some years ago, he walked up to me and he said, "Welcome home," and I nearly punched him in the face. Because the last place I wanted to be was here. And I walked in and he said, "Oh, welcome home." And it instantly made me mad. Because I felt like, you know, God was putting a spotlight on me. Then I watched a ripple of whispers go through the congregation as I was standing at the back. And all these people kind of to look at me. Warren's back. But I have him on my... One of the reasons I have him on my list is because over the many years that we've known one another, whatever he's said to me, particularly prophetically, I've known I needed to listen to it and give it weight. Had someone else complain that the worship was too loud. I don't care. You're not on my list. Sorry, bro. How do we press on together? By running with perseverance. Not chasing speed or spectacle or performance, but just some steady faithfulness. Following Jesus isn't flashy. The best part about it is kind of these one-on-one moments you have with Jesus that nobody else knows about. Standing on the stage, it's meaningless. Carrying a title, meaningless. Just choose some steady faithfulness. Let God worry about the suddenly stuff. And lastly, how do we press on together? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. In worship, fixing our eyes on Jesus. When you're in worship, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's the whole point of worship. It's not about you feeling good. It's not about you getting warm fuzzies. It's not even about your emotional response to the tune. It's not about the lyrics even. It's just about Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus in worship. Fix your eyes on Jesus in prayer. We often will come to God and we'll just start going, "God, look at me, I need your help here," you know. Or, yeah, we're standing in the queue at Pack and Save with our bank card, and we're praying, "God, please let there be enough money on this card." Or we're looking at an empty fuel tank and we're like, "God, just let me get home." But let's fix our eyes on Jesus in prayer also. When you're praying, just talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, here I am. And finally, in community. You know, quite often we'll get together and we'll have a good old chin wag about house renovations or our new job or what's happening in the world. Or how about we focus on Jesus in a couple of those little community moments? Worth a shot. Who knows? Might do something for us. We lift our gaze again and again and again and again to the one who endured for us. And finally, in conclusion, the writer of Hebrews envisions the Christian life as a communal race, sustained by witnesses, stripped of weights, marked by perseverance, and centered on Christ. Isaiah told Israel, forget the former things, I'm doing a new thing. Hebrews tells us, throw off the weights, run with perseverance, fix your eyes on Jesus. Both are invitations to press on, not trapped by the past, not paralyzed by fear, but carried into God's future. So as we finish this month, hear the call one more time. Please, press on. Press on, not because you must prove yourself, but because Christ has already endured for you. Press on, not in isolation, but together, surrounded by witnesses, cheered by the faithful, carried by grace. And when you stumble, and you will, lift your eyes again to Jesus. He has run ahead. He has secured the prize. And he is waiting at the finish line. So, you Hastings people of God, press on into God's new thing. Press on together until the day we join the cloud of witnesses and see the one who ran before us face to face. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, I thank you for this very special community of believers. Lord, I thank you for your unending love for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that we would continue to look to you as we press on. Father, bless this congregation this morning. Lord, may they carry your light into our community.